Board of Directors meeting to order. At this time, would everybody please stand for pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'll let everybody know this meeting's being recorded. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Here.
Tim Beatty.
Here.
Jamie Wright.
Here.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
And Eric Creighton is absent for the record.
Chief, were there any public comments received by phone, mail, or email?
No, sir, I did not receive anything.
Thank you. Moving down to board minutes 4-9 of 2025. Any review or discussion? No questions? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Nancy.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay, moving down to financials. Banking. Has the Secretary Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliations?
Yes.
Thank you. QuickBook audit report.
Yes. Went out to Kathy's on Monday, and we scrolled down into QuickBooks and Milo and anything else that we could pry into, and she showed me all the things that I can look at.
Okay.
She's going to sign me up as a user. I just got to accept her invitation, and then we'll go from there.
So next month we can expect a report or an audit report then?
I'm kind of giving you the report right now.
Oh, okay.
Everything looked good. We did not find anything seriously jumping off the page. The only things we kind of talked about is how things are getting paid before we're seeing the bills at the end or in here. And if there's a discrepancy, how can we say, hey, we're not going to accept that, we didn't order that, but it's already been bought and paid for and it's out. I guess we're not using Milo as much because it costs us $1.50, but we're doing the ACH a lot more, so that seems to be working good.
As much as we can ACH.
Better, faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seemed like it was kind of a long way around to use Milo, but it did track it pretty good. ACH is the same, kind of does the same thing. We're good.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate that very much. Monthly financial report. Any review or discussion on that?
I'll just give you a quick summary. 91.6% of the budget year is done. We have collected property tax wise 100.1% of what we anticipated. And overall collection wise, with all of the other ambulance funds, the donations, all that stuff, we've collected 119% of what our predicted was, which is about $2 million more overall on the thing with interest and all that kind of stuff. Anything that was over 91%, we kind of highlighted. Medical costs for volunteers were at 131%. That's just because we brought so many folks on in the past couple months. The other one, 100%, so we paid our volunteer life insurance, accidental death insurance, so that's why that says 100% on there. Under the personnel costs, we're at 82.9%, again at 91% of the year, so we're about 8% under what our predictions were. If we move on to material and services, again, the things that are above, district license fees, that had to do with our ambulance licensing stuff, that was it's been paid for, so it's 100%, but we were $81 over what we thought the state was going to charge us this year. Bank charges, because of the Melio and the switchover on that, we're still above on that, $700 ahead on that. Everything else fell into line. Maintenance at this station, we had some, and those we've talked about in the past. I think the installation of the new locks cost us a little bit more than we had thought, but overall, in material and services, We are at 68% of what we predicted at 91% of the year. And then again, overall, the overall public safety expenditure is 77.9%. So we're, you know, 12% less than we thought we were going to be, which helps our ending fund balance. So with all that other stuff coming in, our ending fund balance is going to be more than expected. So it looks like at the end of the year when this is done, between Kathy and I will win the bet.
Page 7, dispatch applications, 136%. What is that?
That's active 911.
Okay.
So that fee came up, and yeah, so it was, you know, $2,000 this year, because we added the link that Cody and Dave, actually Cody, we'll make it Cody, we'll blame Cody, so the.
Active comms.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We hadn't planned on that at the beginning of the year, but we added in. It's been a great tool, just not only for us, but the guys out in the field that have it on the phones for. So if you have cell phone coverage, you have better radio coverage. So, okay. Any questions I can answer?
Are those conversations on the active comm 911 being recorded?
Yes. So it's on Fire 3.
Okay.
So it's recorded.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Unless you get the private talk channel between us, and that's not recorded. You don't want that recorded.
I don't want that.
No, it's not a public. That's not a public domain for that stuff.
Okay. All right. And that's working good and worth it.
Nice.
What's the cost to add people to that?
I think it's $68 a year per device.
Yeah, per device. And then we had to buy an initial cost. Of the equipment that's installed in the room back here.
Okay.
But there was an initial equipment cost, and then plus that 68 per device.
The basic
good
functionality.
Good
backup option. Yeah. It you get on with your cell phone, and it converts signal from your cell phone into radio frequency back here in this room back here, which then gets picked up by dispatch and or other radios and whatnot, and then it works better. Going backwards, you know, it gets interpreted here at radio signal, and then dumped into a grid and turned into digital where it goes over the cell phone.
Perfect. So like out in the corridor, where we usually don't have any radio, we can have radio. So
yep. Nice.
That's good to know. All right. Any further discussion on financials? I'm looking for a motion to approve the financials.
I'll make that motion.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Okay, moving down to budget, we do have a resolution, but that's not under that, right? It's under new business. Is that what you put that under? Okay, so anybody got anything on old business? Okay, moving down to new business. Item 1, future of CERT.
So, I invited Dave Jamison here, who is the president of the North Brunswick CERT, and he and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. He has decided that he doesn't want to be the president of CERT in February, so he's given us enough lead time, and I asked him, so what's your succession plan? And he says, I got some limited options here. And so we had a brief discussion. So I asked Dave to come in to talk to us about CERT. And then I think together, between the current CERT group, the board of directors, and staff here, we need to come up with a plan to keep them afloat, I guess is the best way, not dollar-wise, but support-wise. So I'm gonna let David take over, and I'm gonna share the screen, so because he's got a presentation.
Might have just started, just cancel and then share.
Thought you said you weren't an IT guy.
No.
There you go.
That'll do it.
All right.
We are good. Okay. Well, thank you, Chief Dahlman, for inviting me to be here today and have the opportunity to present to the board. I'd like to introduce Pamela Richards. She's our board vice president. I asked her to be here with me today. And my name is David Jamieson. I am the board president for North Lincoln County CERT, Inc. We're 501c3. For those of you that aren't familiar, our CERT team started in 2007, and we are an Oregon nonprofit. North Lincoln Fire and Rescue is our sponsoring agency. Almost every CERT team has a sponsoring agency. Most often it's fire, but it can also be police, it can be county emergency management, it can even be the water district in the case of Milwaukee right now, I believe it is. We have 37 active members on our CERT team. That is in logistics, 37 people listed as active. Of those, about 29 really are actively participating, which is actually pretty good. Those are people who are regularly attending our monthly meetings, getting involved in our activations, doing our community events, all that sort of thing. So that's pretty good, as far as I'm concerned. In my opinion, you know, this acronym CERT, which Community Emergency Response Team, is kind of a misnomer. It's not really what we do. We're not really an emergency response team. That's ridiculous. That's what first responders do. But what we do is we help people get better prepared to take care of themselves and their family and their neighbors in the event of a major or minor disaster, and really serve the community using the skills they've acquired as part of going through this CERT training. I think that's my definition of what CERT is all about, but I think that's more accurate as to what it really turns into. The idea is just to give people a tiny bit more training than the average Joe in medical-related treatments and, you know, taking care of preparedness-related things. Our whole concept is to create a lifestyle of preparedness amongst our members so that they think about that. They think about being prepared, whether it's taking a road trip with their family or it's having enough medical supplies in their house, and if their little kid falls off the bike and skins his or her knee. You know, it's all those kind of things that we want people to be actively thinking about. So that's the way I see the CERT program. So why am I here today? As the chief mentioned, it's to look for a better way to organize and sustain this CERT program over time. And I think one way to do this, and this will be something that you may or may not think is a good idea, is tighter integration with the fire district. I think that can yield better results in terms of more members, more people involved in the CERT program. Can mean better training for our CERT team members. It can mean getting better publicity out into the community about fire district operations that include community preparedness. And then just preparedness in general will increase as a result of being more involved with the fire district, in my opinion. I also believe that small nonprofits like ours are more effective when they're closely integrated with a parent organization, one way or another. That when they're standing all by themselves, an all-volunteer organization is subject to the whims of volunteerism in America, which is tough. It's tough. And the retirement or people moving on who are in leadership positions within a volunteer organization. I think small nonprofits really suffer from that. Good example, Debo Baser, very strong program until Kay Wyatt and Sue Graves left the program. Then it just sort of withered. And it's really, that's very common unless you have a real strong board and strong leadership. So a potential model for thinking about CERT ongoing would be, again, for North Lincoln Fire to take on a stronger sort of organizational face for the organization. And I can envision the website containing more information about the CERT program, perhaps even taking on oversight of the CERT Academy, which is our CERT basic training class, and streamlining the content. You know, FEMA is in the midst of quite a bit of change right now. The CERT program was created by FEMA, and FEMA maintains the content, the training for CERT. I just don't see that continuing in the way that it has in the past. I think this is an inflection point, as a matter of fact, and an opportunity to rethink the delivery of that content
to the community. We've done a lot of localization, if you will, of the content for our specific area by inviting in professionals and changing the content a little bit, but we can do a lot more of that and really streamline how we deliver the CERT content. I think it might be more effective too, instead of hosting our classes at Oregon Coast Community College, perhaps hosting them here at 14 or maybe at Station 16, just to get people again more involved with the fire district. And then of course, North Lincoln County CERT would still have a very strong role planning the monthly meetings. We continue with that. We continue our fundraising efforts. We're pretty much out of our CERT backpacks now. That was funded through a FEMA-related grant, or I think it was the county got a grant from, I think it was FEMA, to fund those. I don't see that continuing. We'd still manage our activations and all the community events. We'd still continue with the e-newsletter. Some of you receive that. I send them out regularly. And our website. So there'd, you know, be a separation of duties, clearly, but with more integration between the two organizations. I think the potential outcome of this could be that the public becomes more interested in the CERT program. It's one thing for the Oregon Coast Community College to promote CERT and attach my name to it as the teacher. You know, who am I? I don't have first responder background or chops, or you know, not a known quantity, but with fire district standing behind it, it's a much stronger position, I think. Adds more sort of gravitas to the whole program. I think that would help. I think, again, we can streamline and adapt the content to make sure it's as relevant in this specific area as possible. That's the key idea, is what makes the most sense for Lincoln City or North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District. Again, with FEMA exiting this whole preparedness business, you know, they just canceled the BRIC funding, grants. I just think there's an opportunity to really rethink how we sort of go to market with this particular program, even renaming it something more appropriate, like Community Preparedness Team or something besides Emergency Response Team, because it clearly isn't that, right? And more public exposure, and I could, you know, at some point you have to renew the bond, getting more positive information in front of the public about preparedness can't hurt with that. I don't know how much help it would be, but it can't hurt. So that's the idea that I wanted to present to all of you today for your thought and feedback. It's just tighter integration between the two organizations. Any questions?
Yeah. Do you guys carry your own insurance?
We do.
Okay.
We have directors and officers insurance, general liability policy, and what do you call it, medical related, you know, sort of accidental death and dismemberment, but not medical. We do that through the Nonprofit Insurance Alliance, which in and of itself is a 501c3. It's about $1,400 a year. The $1,000 that we receive from fire district goes to help pay for that.
Okay. And how else do you get your funds? Just by fundraising?
Fundraising. We do a garage sale every year. You know, the Greater Oregon Coast Garage Sale, we do that every year here. And that's been very successful. We also get personal donations. And we received a grant from the City of Lincoln City for $1,000 to help produce our most recent CERT basic training class. So we've been bringing in people from outside our area, putting them up in hotel rooms, buying pizza for everybody, buying more supplies. It adds up quickly. So that's been a great help too.
Yep. So when CERT started in Lincoln County, Lincoln City, whenever after 9/11, weren't they directly related to the fire department? Didn't Dave Clark put on the classes and everything right here in house and start the team? Yes, I believe he did. We were directly related. Somehow they split off and went on their own. And I disagree with you about how CERT is just kind of there to help other people. They were, in my opinion, and what I understand is they were a group of people in a big disaster that were in areas, in neighborhoods, that could act as quasi first responders with their neighbors, with their neighborhood, when their neighborhood was cut off from first responders.
You know, in theory, that is true. That is absolutely true. I mean, because we go through training, disaster medical operations related. However, it's not something that we train on regularly, practice regularly. You know, it's nothing like what happens in the fire district to keep your personnel ready to respond, you know. So yes, we understand the concepts and have practiced them and think about them, but, you know, the goal is to help yourself, your family, your neighbors, first and foremost. And there aren't that many of us spread out throughout the fire district. You know, in Rhodes End, where I live, there's like three of us. My wife is the second. So in theory, you're absolutely right that it could work that way, and hopefully would to some extent, but not to a huge extent.
It sounds to me like it just kind of is withered away from what it started out to be, whether after I left the fire district house, or is it just, that's why they left, I don't know.
You know, and I don't know that history.
I think a lot of it evolved, especially with county emergency management and the relationship that, so they took over the logistics, which is the registration of that stuff, doing background investigations on these people and doing all that. We, even though it was started as a chapter here with Dave Clark teaching that stuff, when FEMA came in and it started growing, and then it did way more than we were able to do. And so that's when emergency management stepped in and took over that section of it. And that's still at the county level. Even though we have a city emergency manager, it's still at the county level that they do that.
Yeah.
They haven't taken over those, you know, again, background investigations, tracking all this stuff, making sure that people are, like with FEMA, there's a roster and that kind of stuff that,
yeah,
it is supposed, there's a database somewhere that can be accessed on a national level.
And, you know, the state has gotten more involved,
yeah.
Oregon Department of Emergency Management has gotten more involved in that. That is, managing the CERT teams around the state and collecting that information and rolling it up to FEMA. But most of the FEMA reporting sites are gone now,
yeah,
for CERT.
So I wanted Dave here to explain what CERT does today. And when he's one of the big drivers of CERT. In February, he wants to lessen that role and step down if we want to continue it at the level that David's done. We're going to have some internal discussions in our staff to see who's going to step up into those roles. I don't think it's going to cost us anything other than our time.
Right.
And our time is money if you were to run a business. And in order for us to do that, I want to make sure that when we're not asking for any decisions or anything like that, this is just all food for thought, is that the board of directors sets policy for the district. And if your policy is going to say, I want you to take a bigger role in CERT, then that's what we're going to do. If you guys say, nope, you don't got time, they're on their own, sink or swim, bye David, sorry, that's up
yeah.
to you guys. That's not my decision. That's why I wanted him here to explain that.
Have you checked emergency management with the city at all? If they wanted to take it on?
Just going to state that.
I mean, it's a city operation.
And she is a part-time employee.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's part-time and, you know, like Smith Buckley, I mean, her first and primary responsibility is to the city
mm-hmm.
and the county, just like fire district first and foremost responsibility is the fire district operations. And I get all that. So I think the question in my mind is, like, how important is community preparedness to the board?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want to push that and reinforce that and even teach people about that in an effort to potentially lighten your load in the event of a major disaster or frankly minor disasters.
And we're their sponsoring agency now. And
mm-hmm.
so for instance, coming up here, besides the 4th of July, we've got
yeah.
another event coming up, but when they want to be activated, David has to email me and say, are we activated for this event? So on the 4th of July, they'll have Crowd ambassadors. We talk out there, and they have teams, and there's going to be teams down in the 51st Street area, have vests on, have Band-Aids, have
yep.
things like that, just, you know, direct people, where are the porta potties, my kid fell and skinned his knee, you know, things like that.
Help
people
with parking.
Yeah, anything you know. That's asked of them. But that's, and so he comes to me and says, hey, can we activate for this? I think there's a
Kite Festival's next. Not this weekend, but next weekend.
Next weekend, mm-hmm. Kite Festival, they're down there for that. There was one for the triathlon event.
Yeah, we've done a lot with Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And so they do it under our umbrella. In other words, he comes to me, is it a legitimate event? yes, we're doing it, and so we give them direction. That kicks in to make sure that their insurance is covered, not to, but for their own insurance. If they say, wait, did you do this with, did you get somebody to say it's okay to do this? Yeah, we looked at the benefits of it and said it was okay. That's what we do. Anyway,
are you going to stay with CERT then, or are you going to stay in the organization, or are you actually
I mean, I've been board president now for going on 6 years, been involved for 9 years. I'm turning 65 next year. I'm volunteering. I do a lot of other things too, and I need a break. Honest to God, I just need a break.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thank you for your time.
So, and as this moves along, again, thankfully he didn't come here January 1 and say, hey, I'm out next month.
Yeah.
So
no,
we've got some time. We'll discuss it. I think we'll talk and with David involved too, their board.
Yeah, I need to maybe present some kind of a plan.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. What's the plan? How much time we're going to spend on it based on some things that we talked about here? We'll put something together. And again, I'm not going to, it's a policy type decision for us, you guys to say, yep, you guys need to support CERT, keep moving forward. I can tell you that in our last bond, our last levy, this guy put a blog out and scoured social media, and anybody that wasn't being truthful with their information, he put out the truth.
That's awesome.
As he saw it.
That's a
stretch.
That's a full-time job right there. But no, yeah. There's just, yeah, it's sad.
So, thank you, David.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right. Let's move down to 2024 audit letter to the state. Any review and discussion, Chief? You got anything?
No, this is, so it's a standard letter after the audit comes out and they have either material weaknesses or deficiencies or things that we need to do. This is the letter we put together, kind of the same thing as last year. A couple of small edits over what last year's was. Sent this off to Kathy for her review because, you know, it's an audit's directly involved with her, and she said, yep, looks great. And so now you guys review it and approve it, and the board president signs it, we forward it on to the state.
Okay. Any questions on that, guys? Okay. All right. Move down to item 3, resolution to adopt 2025-2026 budget.
I think you need to approve the letter, and you're going to sign it.
Oh. just a review. Okay.
With a motion.
Sorry about that, guys. So, looking for a motion to approve the audit letter.
So moved.
Second.
I'm moving forward to get out of here.
And Nancy was the second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Jamie Wright?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll move down to item 3, resolution to adopt 2025-2026 budget. Has everybody had a chance to review that and read it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Dan?
Yes.
Okay. Looking for a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Okay, moving down to item 4, selecting contractor for a roof at Oda Station. Chief.
Yeah, so this was, we came up with the Oda Station needing a complete roof replacement. And so we initially got a bid from Pfeiffer Roofing, and then Bob reached out to the Eagle Point Roofing and got a second bid.
Where are they out of?
These guys.
Portland,
yeah, I was looking. I thought it said.
Actually.
Yeah.
I think they're actually out of Corvallis.
That's right. You're right, Corvallis. So, anyways, got the two bids. There's a price difference, pretty significant price difference of almost $10,000 between the two. We have a choice between, a couple different things on the style, the rating of the roof, you know, but and one's Malarkey Shingles and one's Owens Corning Shingles. We went back to the guys out of Corvallis. The first bid didn't have stainless steel nails and stainless steel flashing, so we had them upgrade that so that we're comparing it apples to apples type of thing. So those are the two bids. It's out of next year's budget, but we want to get on their schedule to get done. The other thing about the Corvallis group is theirs also includes two sheets of decking or dry rot that they replace and put on, whereas Pfeiffer Roofing is nothing. They don't have any of that written into their contract. You have to pay for the first two sheets and anything beyond that, obviously. So I know that Pfeiffer does a good job. They're right here in Lincoln City. They have a local office here. I can tell you that their installers don't come locally. They're mostly coming over from Salem. I just had my roof done at home. Those guys drove over from Salem. And, you know, they don't have local guys here. They have an office here, basically, and people that show up. And even the guy that does the bidding comes out of Salem for their work. So
that was like $43,000, wasn't it? And the other one's $32,500.
Yeah, and it depends, again, on which...
what you pick.
Yeah, which one you pick there. So
Pfeiffer was using what kind of material? They had the choice too, or was it?
So they yeah. also had the Malarkey Roofing, and then Pfeiffer's bid here. So Pfeiffer does Owens Corning, and they both have the same warranty on it as far as how many the year warranty and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to find the right page here.
How long are they going to keep their bid? Because we're not doing it until...
Well, we'd like to get it. How long are these bids good for?
I think Pfeiffer says 10 days or something.
Yeah, but he called me the other day and said, hey, which I said, we're making a decision on it tonight. We're trying to get on their schedule sometime. And so if we go with Pfeiffer, he says he could get us on the schedule in 6 to 8 weeks. So we're still in the next budget year.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of the same with the guys out of Corvallis. So. Guys got all this stuff in here. I should have just kept the base pages.
Is the staff giving us a recommendation on which one to go with? Or do we know much about the other company?
So Bob did the background look on the other company. That's why he called them directly. He said he says they're pretty reputable. He doesn't have an issue with them doing it. But like I said, about a $10,000 difference. And so the ask was, why $10,000 difference? And nobody could really answer that question.
Well, the other thing too, it goes from with Pfeiffer, it goes from $43,000, and then premium goes up to $46,000, and then your maximum goes up to like $49,500.
Yeah, it depends on which level of roofing you
right.
want.
Right. So
you want to buy.
That seems like a lot.
It yes. So. Well, if we can find a reason not to, that's kind of why we brought it up here. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I read through it a bit. They both looked very similar. I mean, I'd like to go with Pfeiffer being local. Owens Corning, I've used a lot of the Duration. It's a great product. I don't know Malarkey, but they're a good product as far as I know. I couldn't find any reason for the price difference. I thought it was in fasteners or flashing or something.
Yeah.
Everything was the same.
And that's why we upgraded to the stainless steel storm nailing, 6 nails per shingle and all that kind of stuff. I can tell you that back contracting days when you and I and Bob were working together, we used both, Malarkey and Owens Corning both, just depending on who we bought it from.
They're rated the same pretty much.
Yeah, they are.
Malarkey. We have Malarkey.
Okay.
All right. If you're asking me, I would go with Eagle Point Roofing, just because of the
pricing.
The pricing.
It's over a $10,000 difference.
Should have done it on my house.
Okay. I'm like Jamie too, I like to stick with locals, but when there's that big of a savings.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, are you local or you have an office here?
Like I said, we're local.
Yeah, they're not really local.
Okay.
That's a point.
It's a point, thank you, dude. So we need to go with a cheaper bid. If it was really close, then there'd be a decision to make, but.
$10,000.
$10,000 is a lot of money.
$10,000. Okay.
So looking for a motion to approve that.
Well, we have to decide on a grade of material or just.
I would, to be honest, I would go with the intermediate grade stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
Yep. Just the middle grade, not the cheap, not the expensive.
Any further discussion?
Is a 50 grade a little high for a roof?
What's that?
It literally costs more than my house and my house has more roof than that station.
Yeah.
I just got my roof redone.
It's totally, totally outrageous. I think we should table it and go look for more bids or ask these guys to sharpen their pencil or something. I don't know. I mean, we just.
If you look at the cost of product now, that's where everything is.
It was 40 square?
Yeah, 48.53.
48?
Yeah, what it says here, it says remove existing system, 48.
We just roofed, we not we, but Angie just roofed that big building right there by Schwab's, that whole thing. And that's bigger roofing square footage than it is.
How much was that?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, but it was less than 40 grand.
Who did she use?
To find out.
Yeah.
Go on table?
Yeah.
Next one?
I would table. So I have more information.
I'm fine with that.
So you want me to go back and ask both these companies to give us a cheaper bid and look for somebody else? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, we're just tabling it right now.
Well, so if I bring it back next month, what do you want to see different? That's what I'm asking.
He's going to find out from Angie who they used, and then we'll ask them for a quote.
Okay.
And then compare the two then, between Eagle and.
Probably get that information tomorrow.
Okay.
I would say for 50, almost 50 square, that first price is going to be pretty tough to beat. But I don't know. You can, doesn't hurt to look.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, moving down to item 5, fire suppressant billing. Chief.
So, how this started out, and Cody's got more of the information on it, was we had an out-of-district response to a fire, and the lady has, first she contends that she's in the fire district, and then she's really not in the fire district at all. Cody's got all the information on it. She came to our office here and proceeded to tell us that Director Drayton told her to ask for us to forgive the bill. That's not my purview to do. I'm following district policy. And when you don't live in the fire district and we respond out, we have an ordinance and we have a policy that says you get a bill from us.
Correct.
And if we're going to set a precedence when somebody comes and asks for a forgiveness of a bill, it's going to come to the board of directors every time. I'm not going to make that decision. I'm going to follow the policy that you put forth and the ordinance that you put forth. So I'll let Cody get into the history on what our response was, what that costs, and then you guys can make a decision if you want to forgive this bill. And then you can make a policy decision as if anytime somebody, well, I'm not going to, that's up to you. Anytime somebody comes and wants us to forgive a bill, I'm bringing it to the board of directors. We have an ordinance in place, we have a policy in place that says you don't live here, you get billed. We respond out.
Correct.
So. Cody, you got a background on?
So essentially, we responded June 23rd, 2024 to the property. First arriving engine found approximately a 30 by 40 burn pile that had escaped its containment lines and was spreading into some vegetation and timber nearby. They requested additional units to respond, including brush 16, engine 16, brush 17, tender 12, along with engine 14. Crews were on scene for approximately 2 hours while Depot Bay moved up to cover our district, at least for the first hour until we cleared engine 16. From there, or the pile itself would have required an act or a permit from the Oregon Department of Forestry due to its size. There was not one obtained by through them or through us, and it was actually an active burn ban time. Materials in the pile included household trash, hazardous materials, debris such as oils, oil in oil containers, and then and also a travel trailer that was thrown in the pile. So crews suppressed the fire. Ms. Durrett, I had at least one conversation with her, and I believe Chief had one or two as well. Regarding this, she remains that she is in the tax or in our fire district. If you look at her tax records there, her property tax statement, you'll see the only fire listed on there is State Fire Patrol and State Fire Patrol surcharge, which is for the funding of the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Yeah,
not
our district.
So, as Chief stated, this is, you know, up to you guys. She is requesting that we waive the cost of this, but we, you know, 3, 6, 8, you know, 10 personnel for 2 hours, for an hour, and then an additional 7 for another hour while we're out of district and relying on Depot Bay, which, I mean, the other side of that too, right? It's not just us relying on Depot Bay. That means Newport's moving up to Depot Bay to cover them.
Right.
And it's just this chain effect through the county. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
So we had a burn ban at that time?
Yeah, we had entered into regulated burning at that time.
And Oregon Department of Forestry was not issuing any permits anymore.
Right.
They had
okay.
closed their burn season. And we did send the pictures to DEQ because she was
burning
prohibited materials.
Yep.
DEQ on the first issue instance usually sends you a letter. On the second one, you get a $25,000 fine.
My opinion that we don't waive it.
Yeah.
My opinion. So
I would agree. They were burning illegal materials. They knew they were burning illegal materials. They knew they were doing something wrong.
And she probably, she doesn't have the money, most likely.
No.
So I would put her on a payment plan.
Or it'll just be a lien on the property, right, until it's sold?
Eventually.
Yeah.
We could go that far. I mean, right now she's getting bills from our billing company, the Nightshade Solutions, used to be EF Recovery for this, just the same company that sends bills out for motor vehicle crashes.
I mean, it still doesn't mean she'll pay it.
No. And we get a lot of people that don't.
It's the same thing, and just like you said earlier, so if we forgive one, everybody's going to ask for forgiveness. It's already in our policy, unless we change our policy.
I don't think you can.
I don't know how you change policy for somebody who's outside of our fire district.
I do not either.
We don't even have jurisdiction.
Correct.
We went there as a mutual aid with Oregon Department of Forestry. Essentially, they have...
But they didn't come.
No, at this point in time in the year, when they get to right now, it's like the closest people go and handle it. If you can handle it, cancel us, because we've got a whole we've got three other engines and a whole rest of the county to take care of. So,
great.
Kind of the same thing. If they can show up and do something to help us and cancel us, the same mutual aid agreement stands.
So if ODF went, would they have fined her?
They probably would have written her a ticket on the spot, yes.
This is just a review or discussion, or do we need a motion to?
Well, I think we need some direction. Again, if you want me to bring these to you every time, or you say, no, chief, when we send a bill out and it follows our policy and our ordinance, follow the policy and ordinance. That's what we're gonna do.
That's my opinion.
You don't need to vote on that. That's the direction I currently have.
That's my opinion, to keep it just the way it is.
Dan, do you want to comment anything on that? Anything
she
else?
Trapped me somewhere.
She trapped me twice in the parking lot. I don't feel bad.
I mean, she's trapped me twice on the same subject, and I tell her the same thing. Okay.
But I mean, I would suggest a payment plan. I know.
I mean, I feel bad, but yep. We.
Yeah.
I know.
Can't.
Okay.
Yeah, she was saying that she, like you said, she says the district. I don't know why I'm paying taxes. Yada yada yada. People on scene wouldn't let her take her backhoe and put the fire out, and it got stuck, or she got stuck. Anyway,
the neighbors were not happy. Let's say that.
So
yeah,
could have
been really
bad. Wouldn't let her put it out. They had to put it out.
And if this had gone unchecked and moved into something bigger,
right,
and started destroying other folks' property, she'd have been on the hook for a lot more. There's state statute that you get to pay for the cost of suppression and the damage to anybody else's property. So, all right, we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you.
And follow policy. So, thank you.
Local Union 5169 report.
No report that we received.
Okay. Committee and staff report.
So we have the safety committee meeting minutes there from May 19th. There was a long discussion about safety culture and how we can work on increasing that within the district. But other than that, we didn't have any accident reports, so there were no recommendations to change anything, but that's all during the minutes.
Did we lose another exhaust pipe?
We did. That was done before, so this was under old business, so it came the month before.
How many, was that just one this year so far, or is it two?
This year?
Define year.
January.
I guess that's one this
probably
year.
Probably only one
okay.
this year.
One
all
this
right.
year.
Okay.
There was one last year also.
All right, I know.
There was some suggestions about how do we shorten them, how do we, it's like, you're talking about this much. If you're that close to something, you're too close to begin with.
Okay.
And so that the exhaust was just complete the repairs last week. We had to get some parts from Pierce, and then we had to get an exhaust tip to hook to our exhaust system in the building, and that just showed up too. So that's been repaired. Next report's from Deputy Chief Height on his work for the past month.
Are there any questions? Otherwise, it's as presented. Well, other than pancake breakfast Sunday.
Sunday. Yep. No report from Chief Bickerdike. He's been out.
But he's back.
But
yay.
He's back.
You want to tell us about your scooter?
I'm happy to.
No, but what I did see on the news the other night, when the California Highway Patrol was getting pummeled with stuff,
with
they were
scooters.
Throwing green scooters
yes.
over the side.
I've seen that.
And I expected to see Dave doing the same thing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But
yeah.
He wasn't there.
All right.
If Eric could superimpose his face on that picture.
Oh my God.
He's angry with green. Under my report, so 16 ambulance transports last month. And that's kind of, I think, the most we've done in any month. Three of those interfacility transfers. They are having a problem staffing units. They're consistently at level three. And the other day they were at level three and did an out-of-town transfer, which put them at level two, and we ended up transporting again. So that's one for this month already.
So are these transports like out of town or your...
The ones that we're doing?
Yeah.
No, so three of them were interfacility, so three of them were out of town, 13 were in town.
So LifeLights?
LifeLight, are those three, LifeLight calls us and says, hey, can you do this?
Wow, okay.
Because so, they're, and so we're third on the list. If they can't do it, they call Pacific West. They can't do it, then they call us.
Okay.
So we're the third call when they can't do that. Ambulance collections, you can see all the money is received there. Nothing surprising there. Building and equipment maintenance, so they've been doing a lot of work down at Station 16. If you drive in there, you can see that things have been painted, a lot of stuff's been cleaned up. They're getting ready for the pancake breakfast next month and all that. Here they've been doing some work. You can see additional rocks done. In the next couple weeks, Bob's gonna get, they're gonna pressure wash this side, and Bob's gonna paint this side this summer here. So I think in the next couple weeks that'll happen at this station here. No real major vehicle repairs. Annexations, again, I'm still working with those. I haven't had a lot of time to put in on it, unfortunately. I wish I did, but I haven't had in this past month a lot of time to put in on those annexations. Alarm responses, you can see, month to month, from last year to this year, 7% decrease. Overall, for the year, it's 2% increase. The sheet's back there. Significant incidents we've had, I listed those out. So Spyglass Apartments, we had a guy using a cardboard box as an ashtray. that just smoked up the place, didn't displace anybody. Cody was up at the high school. They had some students that were putting some items in the electrical outlets that actually caused a fire. On Bard Road, we had an abandoned RV that was on fire that has been abandoned for a long time. The family's going through a process to get the property. They're doing a title search right now, and as soon as that title search comes back clear, they're clearing that whole place out. So that RV will be gone and the house will be gone. They've had a lot of homeless people and a lot of bad activity happening in that house. So the police were there on that. Deer Lane Drive, a significant call where we had, it ended up being three buildings involved. They're all on the same property, but one was a shed caused from the homeowner burning weeds in his backyard with a propane torch. He turned around and the shed was on fire, which caught his garage on fire, which caught the house on fire. But the good thing about up there is they have a great water system with lots of fire hydrants. And we were able to tap right into one of the fire hydrants. And Mr. Klinger came down. He was quite happy that things were working well. So we did have had a pretty decent water supply up there.
Didn't hear a rumor that the water tank was getting pretty low, though? But they haven't replaced it.
No.
Okay.
We haven't. It dropped, but it was never critical.
Well. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we started with 80,000 gallons, and at one point he said he had 73,000.
I think the last I heard was like 68,000 or something left. Yeah, so.
Did we find out that they installed like 30 new hydrants? Or is
49.
49.
New ones?
Yeah.
What did they have before?
Nothing.
Five. Well, they had three.
Wow.
They had three hydrants and one wasn't working.
That's quite an improvement.
And so their plan is, I think this summer is still... 400,000 gallon tanks. I think they're getting two of those.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Hope they're at homeowners insurance.
It might.
You think?
Yeah, you would think so. It might. Yeah. It depends on. I know that I get asked how close are you to fire hydrant. And then another bigger call we had was on Highway 18, right in front of the Rose Lodge station. We had a two vehicle crash that ended up with five patients being transported out of that. Financial audit's complete. Documents you guys already know about. We're already starting to work on the 24-25 audit. Those documents have been, Kathy and I are preliminarily looking at things. We did sign an agreement letter with Polly Rogers, but it is $1,800 more than we had budgeted based on their 3 years ago saying this is what it's gonna cost. It was an estimate. So anyway, we're gonna be over budget on that one. Still working on fixing a couple of the OSHA items to be corrected. Personnel hiring, again, the one firefighter leaving, going to Portland Fire. Seth Seedling accepted the position. He passed all the requirements. His start date is June 23rd. The volunteer side of things, we have recently brought on a couple of more volunteers. We're at 19. We have the two backgrounds that are done on the other two volunteers that you have set up.
I'm onboarding them hopefully next week.
Next week, and then Riley will get the gear issued out, and we'll start with the training on that. The station damage is station 16. We're still waiting for the garage doors. That's with garage door sales. He's been stuck on not being able to get those for 3 months now. So he's still working on it.
There's Pelican now, you know. Garage.
There is another one, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've already ordered it through Mr. Hatton, so I don't think that's going to change. Casino fireworks coming up here on June 21st. We have the UTV set up for that night. We didn't get any volunteers. I still don't think we have any volunteers that want to man the engine that night. No. So engine 14 is going to kind of go up in the Roads End area and route towards the casino just to show the flag and make a presence. We're still preparations for the rodeo on the 4th and 5th. We had a meeting with the police department on our operational planning the other day. Our ops plan is done with the exception of ambulance staffing on the PWA side. And because I see what they're doing now, what they hope to be doing on that day, I doubt it's gonna happen. I'm gonna get them closer to another week so she can figure staffing out, and then that'll complete the fire and EMS operational planning for that.
Did we move forward with the summer hires to be able to maybe
man that day? Yep, so we have the summer hiring. Those folks have been, we have three of them that have been onboarded now. The schedule's out. We do have the 4th of July weekend covered for those 3 days, the 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Can you get volunteers to cover a second ambulance that weekend?
We've asked for volunteers to come in.
For the second ambulance?
Just for any work at all.
Okay.
So we have a pretty robust plan. We have a lot of people out there. And so I don't think we're going to have an issue staffing things. So, but that's our ops period is for noon to midnight. That's what we're working on. ISO, so we had a meeting with ISO. They came in, and so we exchanged some additional information since that meeting. And David Hyland is going to have another ISO evaluation coming out to us that may upgrade a couple of points here and there. We'll see. We were able to get some additional stuff in training and staffing. He gave us some additional points on. Everything else was kind of stayed the same.
Overall, I think the meeting was worth it. It was a lot of good information.
Yeah.
Understanding how they score and was pretty good. They brought their manager up from Texas, right?
Beaverton.
I thought she was from Texas.
No, she's from Beaverton.
Okay. I thought she said Texas. Maybe that's where she's from.
Maybe.
Okay.
She was from Beaverton. So the other information there, again, backyard burning closes this weekend. It's going to be closed through October 15th. We've sold a couple of surplus items. Pancake breakfast, if you all could be there, it would be great. This next week is DPSSC's Fallen Firefighter Memorial. We already talked about the 4th of July, the turnouts, the grants that we've put out there. We did get that 50-50 grant. I was assured by County Emergency Management that the check would be sent out by Friday, so I've already started to make those purchases. Our civil service meeting is scheduled for July 8th, coming up here this next month. So we're getting that information available. No longer able to do volunteer physicals at Samaritan. Our occupational medicine office has closed for the foreseeable future here in Newport.
Yep.
So volunteer firefighters that come on, our paid staff we send up to Portland. Our volunteer staff we've set up to go to McMinnville, to Willamette Valley Medical Center's occupational medicine and their urgent care. It's kind of done in the same building. The good thing about that is that they are open on Saturdays to do those, so that might fit their schedules better. And they don't do them just on Wednesdays. They'll do them 6 days a week.
7 days a week.
Seven days
a week. Whoa, and they've also got level 3 trauma at McMinnville now. So just FYI.
Is there a local doctor's office that can do those?
You have to do more than just a physical.
Yeah. So there's a respiratory stuff. They have to have separate equipment that will do that.
Nobody in town.
McMinnville, they do McMinnville, Newburgh, Dayton, Lafayette. So they're very versed in what needs to be done, which is great. So it's not, I mean, it's something that they do every single day for all the surrounding districts. So.
Yeah, it's an NFPA 1581 physical that they're doing, and then they're still doing the capacity test here at Benchmark. We're still doing that locally.
Why does the paid guys have to go to Plano?
They do have quite a bit more extensive testing.
Depending on how old they are, they have to do a stress
running,
test.
Running on treadmills, stress tests, yeah. Things like that, that those guys, McMinnville might do that. And when I was doing it, we had to go through stress tests, the cardiac stress test every year. They were very expensive there too, I can tell you that. Prepping up for wildland season, we've already hired the temporary employees. There's actually an incident going right now up in the Columbia River Gorge. And then we're working, I have a meeting tomorrow with OEM to get additional management reimbursement for COVID clinics that we had. So we're still working on COVID reimbursement money, but I'll be meeting with them tomorrow. And the only other thing I added on the back of that is we got our purchase agreement finalized for the ladder truck. That's not in my report, but there's a copy of it in there so that we all see that that's done. Call volume's there, and the surplus property report is on the back page. Any questions for me?
Right at 5 o'clock.
You were moving a little fast.
So I just have a question on service calls. Unauthorized burning, we have 7 of them. Do they get fined? Do we do anything about it besides going out and yell at them?
Depends.
We don't yell.
Educate.
We educate.
So
it does depend. I mean, we have done some, especially if they're repeat offenders.
Okay.
Some of them I would maybe question if they're unauthorized because...
Are they coding a beach fire as unauthorized
yeah.
and there's nobody
okay.
there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Beach fire is abandoned. There's nobody there. It's unauthorized.
Okay. So that could
yeah.
be.
We don't,
okay.
we don't know who started that. Mm-hmm. They're gone.
And does this city know that they own Moe's property yet? Or are we still? Okay.
They're still.
Okay.
Daphne LaGraza, her last day was today. She's not in the office today. She left yesterday. But today's her last day. I just sent her a quick text message and wished her well, and we did work pretty well with her as far as one of the few city managers we've actually worked well with.
And the new guy is part is interim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Good to the order. I want to welcome Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry's our newest board member. He will be taking Jamie Wright's position. And then come to Jamie Wright. We have a couple little gifts for you.
Uh-huh.
One's from Ron.
Oh.
It's the kisses.
It's
the kisses.
Chocolate.
I used to talk to him the other day.
So yeah, he's really disappointed in you leaving us. And the next thing is from the behalf of the board and the fire district. I want to thank you for all your dedication and your time. And how many years you had as a volunteer?
13 as a fireman.
Wow. So that's 23 years
yeah.
of service.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Thank you.
1988.
Wow.
A couple long ways since 1988.
But anyway, thank you very much for
thank
everything.
You.
And you will be missed. So.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
No, his budget committee application's been filled out. We're good to go for next year. Somebody bows out.
I was going to keep this because I hold the same position in my at home.
And, oh, yeah.
That's good. Do you like to add any comments?
Where's the cake?
Where's the cake?
Right on my hand. There's a bunch of food and cupcakes.
Jamie, thank you so much. I mean, 10 years is a long time being on
yep.
the board. And
yep,
it's
thank
very
you.
Much appreciated.
Keep up the good work. It's a great organization, I think.
Yeah. All right. At that point, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Okay, so we have Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
And Dan Drayton.
Yes.
And Jerry, did you get all your information?
Someone
in the packet of board?
Yeah.
I am.
No, I don't adjourn. Are we adjourned now?
Yes.